This is the Farming World, news and interviews from the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Today we're talking with Mike Score. He's the president of Hance Farms in Detroit. Their job, as they see it, is to develop an urban farm in the scattered areas that have now been decimated in Detroit in terms of population. Mr. Score, thank you so much for being with us. Tell me a bit more about the project.
Sure. Hance Farms is a large for-profit farm in the city of Detroit. The founder is John Hance. John is a successful businessman from the financial services sector, and he would like to use his private equity to help Detroit become a more livable community by transforming vacant, blighted properties into a large-scale for-profit farm.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what has happened to Detroit. Over the past decade, there's been a mass exodus, and it's a lot of it has come recently, but there has been a mass exodus from that city, I think, of about, 1.2 million people, is that correct?
Well, at a peak, the Detroit population was about 1.5 million, and currently people estimate the population to be about 800,000. So if you go from its high point to its current population, we've dropped quite a bit.
Oh, right. So I was thinking probably of Detroit and maybe some of the collar areas. Can you define what area you're looking at? I'm familiar with Detroit and what is commonly referred to, I think, in the media there, sort of an 8-mile road or radius around the center part of Detroit where there's a lot of population that has exited. Is that correct?
There are pockets of prosperity in Detroit, and there are pockets of areas where people have left, and we need a new land use plan for a viable, livable community. If you go to the east side of Detroit, and if you look at a map, Woodward Avenue is locally considered to be the divider between east and west. We're looking at properties that are east of Woodward and south of Interstate 94. So the lower east side of Detroit is where we're looking to start our farm.
And when you go to do that, what's the first step?
Well, there are a lot of first steps, but we had to have a business plan to make sure that the project was even feasible. So that took quite a bit of time. There's a lot of research involved, market research, identifying target customers, making sure that the land was there to be aggregated. But once we had a business plan, then we had to approach local government and negotiate with them, communicate with them, and help them to see how this farm fits into a better Detroit. And once that understanding is achieved, then now we are going to the final stages of acquiring real estate. So we have to purchase a lot of land from local government, but then there are some privately held parcels as well. And we believe that we'll be finishing up our first phase acquisition in June or July of 2010. Then we have to do environmental assessments. We have to order our production inputs, and this fall we should begin site preparation and putting our first crops in the ground.
Tell me about the vision you have for this urban farm and the size, scale, the crops that might be there, what kinds of cleanup work you have to do to get it started.
Okay. There are three levels of success for the farm. The first is simply a production operation. So just like farms out in the countryside, we'll establish a production operation, and our goal is to be profitable. The second level of success has to do with education and tourism. If we were out in the more remote areas of the state, we probably wouldn't have much of an emphasis on those enterprises, but being in the city brings a lot of advantages, not only from an education perspective, but from a revenue-generating perspective. So our second level of success will be to have the public begin using our farm as a gathering place, to learn about our food system, to enjoy Michigan agriculture, to see the diversity of Michigan agriculture, and to bring out-of-town guests when they come to Detroit. The third level of success is, I think, the most ambitious level, and this is the level that we're striving for with John Hance, the employees of the Hance Group. we would like to become the global center for innovation in urban agriculture. There are several significant efforts around the world to explore integration of agriculture into urban centers so that the food needs of an global population. The world population is projected to be 9 billion by the year 2050, and there's a group of people who believe that conventional agriculture will contribute to that challenge, but will not meet the challenge of feeding 9 billion people. So we'll have to find ways to integrate agriculture back into urban centers. And in a northern climate like Michigan, urban agriculture includes enterprises like indoor production of fruits and vegetables year-round in controlled climates. So we would like to assemble some of the most innovative urban agriculture production systems in the world in one place, and then have leaders from around the world come to Detroit to see what's possible in the emerging urban agricultural industry.
Tell me about the properties that you're purchasing, both privately and from city governments at this time.
These properties are they're mixed. Some are industrial, some are former residential areas, and they vary in size. There are some parcels as large as 40 to 100, 200 acres, and then there are other sites that are smaller, probably 2 to 5 acres. So when we purchase land in a 300-acre area, we can probably initially own about 100 to 150 acres. And then over time, as other properties become foreclosed, we would purchase those as well. As we go forward, the farm will become more consolidated, but originally it'll be a bit scattered. In terms of soil quality, the soils are mixed. In a former residential area, there are a lot of basements that were filled in with fill material, and so you can get a variety of soil textures and soil fertility levels. A lot of people are wondering about soil contamination. We've already pulled 58 soil samples on sites that we're interested in purchasing, and we've yet to find a site that is above EPA thresholds for food production. So the soils that we've looked at so far have been clean, but we know eventually we'll find contaminated soils. A great part of Michigan agriculture is it's so diverse that even in uncontaminated soils, we can shift to crops like forestry or ornamental plants and still have those sites work in our business plan.
Yeah, so some of these sites, you've talked about a couple of things that'd be in greenhouse production, I suppose, of some sort, or hydroponics possibly, but will much of it be outdoor agriculture, open land and
Most of our production will be outdoors. We'll use aeroponic systems indoors with LED lighting, so those actually won't be greenhouse systems. Even our hydroponic systems would probably use artificial light. But in our first phase of land acquisition, we expect to purchase somewhere around 100 to 150 acres in 2010, and almost all of that will be outdoor production. Our first phase of production, we want to have a U-pick apple orchard and a U-cut Christmas tree operation. So those are outdoor crops. And then we'll have a significant forestry enterprise. That's a very long crop life cycle, and with some intermediate income coming from thinning of the trees and sale of firewood. Most of the land that we purchase will be used for outdoor production.
Both of those crops are long-term crops, and Christmas trees would take at least 5 years before you would get a return on them. Orchards, I think, about the same time before they start to produce. I don't recall how long it takes to get an orchard into production. But it sounds like a very long, labor-intensive process to begin with. And that you don't get returns right away, so Hans apparently is in for the long run at this time. What's the cleanup like on this site? I could only imagine that there's cement and lead-based paints and, well, houses and all the things that come with just natural city living.
Well, if you go to Detroit, you'll be surprised how much land's already vacant. The structures, in many cases, have been taken down. So we're down to bare ground, at least when you look across the surface. There's buried debris. It's one of the reasons that we're interested in forestry, orchards, Christmas trees, because other crops don't require extensive tillage, and if we can get the trees in the ground, they'll grow their way around the buried rubble. Cleanup in terms of heavy metals like lead will depend on soil contamination levels. And again, the initial soil testing, we've been fortunate to find that soils that we're interested in buying, at least at this point, are not contaminated.
Tell me about Mr. Hance and why he's interested in doing this. It seems for a man in a company that is a financial company, it seems a lot more altruistic than what he's done in the past. But I don't know him, nor have I read very much about him. So maybe you can give me an idea of the people behind this project.
It's a combination of being a good neighbor and launching out into a new and exciting business venture. John has lived in the city of Detroit for over 20 years. And unlike other wealthy people, he made his money and then he stayed. And he's very fond of the city. He used to drive from his house in Southeast Michigan to his office in Southfield. And every day he'd drive through blighted areas and hope that they would someday improve. And over the years, he noticed they weren't improving. They were getting bigger. And he got to the point where he was asking when the city would get around to fixing this problem. And a couple years ago, he realized that the city can't. The city has a structural budget deficit, declining population, increased cost of urban services. So then he wondered what the business community might do, and more specifically, what he might do. And he realized that while he can't solve the whole problem, Detroit has 40 square miles of vacant tax-reverted properties. He could do something. And so he made a personal choice to commit $30 million of his private equity to launch a farm in the city to transform blighted vacant areas into places of beauty and more livable communities. But he wanted to do this in a way that would carry itself forward. He didn't want it to be a drain on local governments or on his company. So he decided to approach the farm as a for-profit venture. John is very innovative. He's a visionary. The other day I was talking to someone and I said, John's unusual. We see the color spectrum Roy G. Biv. For John, the V stands for value. And he sees all the other colors that we see, but he can look at a distressed part of the economy, and from with his experience and his innovation, he can see value where others only see chronic problems. And it's just thrilling to work with John.
Today we're talking with Mike Skor. He's the president of Hance Farms in Detroit. More with him when we return here on The Farming World. You're listening to The Farming World. It's news and interviews from the Land Grant in Urbana-Champaign. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Today we're talking with Mike Skor. He's the president of Hance Farms out of Detroit. They're hoping to develop an urban farm. You told us that you expect to have the initial purchases done in June or July of this year, Mr. Skor. I think of maybe 150 to 300 acres, but you're hoping to have a much larger farm over time. How big would you think this might grow to be?
Well, we're committed to right-sizing our farm to our marketplace. So in the first phase, we're modestly sized, 100 to 300 acres. And when the farm is up and running, there are some proof of concept projects that we have to complete so that city leaders become comfortable with the feasibility of a for-profit farm in the city. If the city buys in, if they become all in on this project, there are a lot of neighborhoods in the city that could benefit from a large-scale farm. And as long as we can expand production in a way that moves product into the marketplace with a profit margin, and the city has an appetite for a bigger farm, we'll continue to expand. So we're not afraid to stop at 100 acres, but we're not afraid to go to 10,000 acres. And we'll right-size ourselves based on market response.
You are the new president of Hance Farms, but you came from MSU. Can you tell me about your work there?
I graduated from MSU in 1980 and hired into MSU as an agricultural agent back then. in between then and now, I worked with the Mennonite Church in Africa. I worked with University of Kentucky and Southeast Kentucky, and then moved back to the region 13 years ago as an agricultural agent near Ann Arbor, Michigan. 7 years ago, I switched the focus of my work to work with Chris Peterson at the Product Center of MSU, and I help people write business plans for food and agricultural ventures. And really working with Michigan agriculture to convert our relatively low-priced commodities into higher-value consumer goods. MSU is a real strong partner in Hance Farms. Our farm, in effect, will serve as an urban agricultural research station for MSU. We'll have students involved through internships at the farm at all levels of the operation, and we will partner with MSU to find interesting, exciting research initiatives that will make it easier to expand urban agriculture to a global level.
Can you tell me about the business plan that you presented to the Detroit City Council and what it said about who the target consumer might be for the products that you expect to raise?
Sure. Because our business plan includes a for-profit farm as a farm, but then also education and tourism enterprises, we're projecting a mix of wholesale and retail accounts. So on a conservative level, we're projecting 70 to 80% of our total production going into the market through wholesale buyers or large institutional buyers, and the balance being sold direct retail to people who come visit our farm. In reality, we think that we'll have a higher percentage going direct retail, but in the budgeting world, we like to be conservative. It's interesting. We've had major corporations with national chains come to us, and we have five or six national retailers who said individually that they would like to buy everything that we're going to produce. They're very excited about urban agriculture, using agriculture as a tool for revitalizing a city like Detroit. There's been a lot of media attention to Hance Farms. People in general just really like the idea. So we don't have any anxieties about being able to sell into wholesale markets. There's already a lot of competition, and we haven't really begun production yet.
What do you expect transportation problems will be like for you? You are in the midst, while it's a blighted area, you will be right in the middle of a city.
Yeah, it's going to be great to be in the middle of a city. The way our farm is laid out, we'll be working with smaller fields. And, for example, our orchard will be U-Pick. So we're not going to have to haul our apples to some destination. We expect most of our apples to be sold directly to consumers. Our land is not far from Eastern Market, so it's only a matter of a few miles to get from most of our production centers to Detroit's Eastern Market. And there's a terminal market at Eastern Market where our wholesalers can pick up their products. So transportation actually works quite well for us in Detroit.
If it all works exactly the way you want it to, what do you think Hance Farms will look like in 10 years?
Hance Farms will be the place to go in the Midwest because we have a collection of before pictures, and then Hance Farms will be a place of beauty. We have a large budget for landscaping the property to make it a real show place. We'll have innovative production systems, and those production systems will be changing as new technologies come forward. So it'll be, we like to say it's like the auto show, but for urban agriculture. So there'll be some enterprises that'll be proven concepts, and you can go and you can look at those because, you know, you're thinking about buying them. But you can also go and see prototypes of new systems, new production systems for urban agriculture, and you can imagine what's possible at Hance Farms. So that's what we envision. It'll in our region, we have the Detroit Zoo, we have Greenfield Village as major tourism destinations, and Hance Farms will be a new destination in that constellation of places to go.
And that's Mike Score. He is the president of Hans Farms. You've been listening to him on The Farming World. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a good day.